Welcome to our Sunday morning worship services here at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today, we continue the new sermon series on the Ten Commandments called Love God and Love Others. The struggle is real. You might notice that we've bumped up commandment number 5 to today. Honor your father and your mother seemed appropriate for this Mother's Day. Let's join in as the Holy Spirit assists us in our hearing, learning, and application of God's Word.
Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is the Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
What a joy today to have Liam and Kate assisting in worship today. Good job, Kate. Stepping up here and reading the scripture for us today on Mother's Day. We're very appreciative of the Dunn family and the Cotton family for sharing their children with us today. Good to be with you today. Just to bring greetings again to mothers, we welcome you to the service worship. Glad that you are here. Welcome. We're glad to honor you this day. Also, we recognize those mothers who've gone before us, great saints in the church. The flowers are in memory of some of those individuals that we honor and are mindful of today as well. Friends, it's just good to be mindful of the contributions that mothers make in our lives. Also, as a new mother, I would share with you that Kara Story is doing well and continues to do great with baby Aria at home. So we're very grateful to continue to get great news of her strengthening and getting better each day. So thank you for the prayers. They continue to be answered. Will you now pray with me? Lord God, we give thanks for this day and for the opportunity we have to honor mothers. And as the scripture has told us, to honor our fathers and mothers and to live into the promises that you have for us. And so God, hear the word today as we do. Lord, do a good work. May your Holy Spirit come, inspiring not only the words that I might share, but opening our hearts to be attentive to your truth. Lord, come and do a good work again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing the sermon series today, Loving God and Loving Others. And I remind you that when Jesus was asked again about all of the commandments, which was the most important, he said to love God and to love others, and then repeated that in saying a tagline onto that, that Matthew 22, that in so doing, all of the laws and all of the prophets hang upon those two commands. So we continue to know that the Ten Commandments have been organized around the first four about loving God, then the next six about loving others. And today we recognize our mothers and we give thanks for them. The struggle is real is kind of the tagline of our sermon series because oftentimes loving those in our families can be a challenge as we share life together in close proximity with brothers and sisters, with mothers and fathers, and with in-laws and all of those relationships that God brings as a part of our family. Today, though, we recognize though the struggle is real. It is our mothers and our fathers that stay with us throughout, oftentimes, our lives, and for which we are grateful for that presence. I often tell wedding couples when I'm doing their wedding, doing a homily right here at this altar, I will share with them the fact that the home life is a laboratory for love. It is in the home where we will learn to best love our spouses and to eventually have children. It's a place where we, I believe, can work on our love life and bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. And again, our families are where they see the best of us and oftentimes the worst of us. And yet in the midst of that, God is perfecting us in human love. God created family, and we give thanks for that. As he created life, he put Adam and Eve, and then he had Cain and Abel in that family, that initial family, ordered by his creation of families. And we give thanks that God's design for human family includes a mother and a father. So in the fifth commandment, we hear of the ten to honor our fathers and our mothers. And since today is Mother's Day, we've jumped in the commandments. You might have recognized that last week we started with commandment number 1 in the sermon series, jumped to number 5, It's because it's applicable on Mother's Day to talk about parenting. And then we will jump back to commandment number 2 next week and put them in sequential order. So today is honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So the commentators will share that this is the first of commandments that are shared in the Ten Commandments that has a promise with it, that has a motivational clause, if you will speak of that, of a good for the community, good for the life, good for keeping the land if you are in this way of respecting and honoring those who are part of the family. So Colin Smith, in his book, The Ten Greatest Struggles of Life, believes at the heart of this command is the idea of respecting authority, that as we as children come into a family and we have a mother and father that we are to respect and to learn to obey as the teachings that they bring into our lives as ordered by God, that establishes this idea of our first opportunity to learn to respect those that are in authority over us. And so parents, by creation, you are given authority over young children. And young children's response to that, again, to obey the instructions given by those, by their parents, is a way in which God begins to form us and to shape us into a life of authority and understanding those who are in authority to that we must subject ourselves to. If the authority is practiced well, Colin Smith says, with godly wisdom, with prayer and good instruction, the sharing of faith, the sharing of values, the sharing of a worship life in a church. And if we can discipline our children when they misbehave and we can show them a consistent pattern of sacrificial love that we are for them, then they will learn to trust authority. But on the other hand, if a child experiences abuse or neglect or abandonment or great disappointment in their upbringing, they will not only have a hard time respecting others, they may also project their disappointment of the love experienced early in their lives onto other people. They may have difficulty in sharing in relationships with others. And what can tragically happen also, they will project their disappointment onto God. Therefore, we've seen that people who have had dysfunctional, broken home lives, not necessarily always, but if they've had a hard experience with a father, have difficulty maybe understanding that God can be a good father to them. So that's why the home life is as important. And today on Mother's Day, we say, thank you, moms, thank you, dads. But say on Mother's Day, thank you for all the ways in which you have helped our children and raised our children and nurtured our children. We honor you today because even though we would say that we're not perfect in any stretch of our imagination, we have made, mothers, you have made significant contributions to who we are, to what we believe, and how our lives will turn out. The mother and father's influence in the early stages of a child's development is very, very important. So we honor mothers today for the nurturing, the love, the provision, for the sacrificial way in which you have cared for us, and we are grateful. I was had to go on a side note and study this week about what happens when respect for authority begins to suffer in community life. Well, as I studied this, I began to see that the symptoms that authority is breaking down in a community is increased conflict, social isolation, increased feelings of being unsafe or vulnerable, difficulty in resolving conflicts because of confusion around decision making, a breakdown of social norms, and increased anxiety and mental health issues. And we can see now that the family is very, very important because good family life creates good community life, and that affects all of us. Now, there are many relationships that form us, but a lifelong relationship with a godly mother is indeed a blessing. And as Jacob read today from Proverbs 31, such a beautiful scripture just depicting some of the attributes of a godly woman as one with noble character, who brings good to others, who's clothed with strength and dignity, speaks wisdom and faithful instruction, watches over the affairs of the household, is successful in the marketplace, will be blessed and praised by her family members. She is to be honored for all the work of her hands. And I hope that as you're listening to those words of Proverbs 31, some of those attributes are identifiable in your life as well. So thank you, mothers, for the attributes for which I have just read that honor you. So what does it mean exactly to honor your father and your mother? What is being commanded here? The word in the Hebrew language is kabid, and kabid means heavy or give weight to. So give heaviness or give weight to your mom or your dad. Well, I would know for a mom that would probably not be something that she would want to hear in the same sentence, right? We just don't like the idea of giving weight or being heavy. But let me just say, I love what it means. That means to not take the relationship lightly, but to take it seriously, to hold in high respect, to have reverence for, to treat with dignity, to recognize worth and importance. The weightiness that comes in that familial relationship with a child and a parent, especially a mom. Now, when our son Brian was engaged to his now wife, Kirsten, it was about 10 years or so ago, he was invited by her family to a wonderful family vacation to participate in that. Unfortunately for Brian, it was scheduled at the same time our family vacation was scheduled. They were going to Hawaii, and we were not. So he was faced with a very difficult situation on his hands. And I appreciate so much the way in which, and I would describe him honoring his mother and father, was that he chose because of the weightiness of the relationship and the history that he had with us, and knowing that it was the last family vacation that he would have with his immediate family before married life, he chose to pass on Hawaii and go to Florida with us. That is just one application of how one might honor their parents when facing a very difficult situation. Honoring father and mother looks different and has different implications as we go through life. So what I want to do this morning is kind of look through the various stages of life. I'll be speaking to some of the children in the room, some of our teenagers that are in the room, and then our adults in the room, and then later adults in life as we deal with elderly parents as well. But let me just say this. To the children in the room, honoring mother and father begins with obeying what is taught to you, because that is so very, very important. Because if we think about it, how do children learn to brush their teeth? How do they learn about good nutrition? How do they learn about what's an appropriate bedtime for them to go to bed at night? How do they learn about doing their homework, making sure they finish their projects on time, learning about responsibilities such as taking care of pets? And how do they learn to say please or thank you and other important social norms that we pass on to them without the instruction of a father or a mother? All of these are very important to getting a child started on the right path. And let me say this, there's some other things that are happening that are very important for young children that will allow them to have a better chance at a great relationship with God as they get older. And let me start with this. As you parents, especially moms and dads, are responsive to the request of their needs, when you care for them, they are learning that they can trust you, and they are learning that God will provide for them because they have had parents who have provided for their needs. So this is very important for them to learn that a home life and a God life is one of provision. God provides for us. We are children of God's. Therefore, it's important to get that right. But on the flip side, if you give your child everything, you set them up for disappointment in life, because they will soon learn that they do not get everything that they ask for. And certainly as adults, we could all say amen to the fact that there are things that God did not give to us that we thought we wanted. And in retrospect, we often said, amen, thank you, God, for your wisdom. You knew better than me what I was confused about when thinking that I needed that. So again, God as a provider. Also, the home is the place where children learn, especially from moms, of unconditional love. That a child can make a mistake, that they can own up to that mistake and learn to ask forgiveness for that mistake, say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And in so doing, they're being set up for a life with God so that one day they'll be able to, as an adult, make mistakes, but be able to go to God who forgives and know that God forgives them and move on in their lives rather than getting stuck in their failures. So it's important that children are learning these lessons to make mistakes, ask forgiveness, and that moms and dads will give that unconditional love, because one day we want them to understand that God loves them unconditionally as well, even with consequences for just things that happen. And thirdly, let me say this, people thrive and they experience success in life when they believe that God is for them. And where does that begin? I think oftentimes a mother is for a child, a father is for a child and wants them to be successful. We give them opportunities, we cheer for them and we coach them, and we need to let them understand that God is for them and the church is for them, but they learn it at an early age when the family is supportive and encouraging of them. So thanks, moms and dads, for all that you've done to lay the groundwork for a child to have a good, healthy relationship with God, so that they will know that God can provide for their needs, that God loves them unconditionally, and that also God will be with them and is for them throughout their entire lives. Now, these are foundational pieces for early childhood development, but let me say this. If you're not raised in a Christian home, but you have good foundational principles like the ones I've described here, it makes it easy to move into the faith, into the church, and to believe in God when you've had a good home life. I have seen through my ministry, people who have had broken home lives have sometimes more challenges. It's not impossible because God's great goodness and they've had dramatic conversion experiences, but it oftentimes helps when a good home life will help a person prepare for a future life with God. So in the early years, let's go back and look at the early years. Fathers and mothers are with us. What's the first thing that children need to hear? They need to hear yes, ma'am, or no, no, sir. They need to be obedient. And I want to remind you from Luke 2:51 that Jesus, after being in Jerusalem with his mother and father, getting separated from them, ends up reconnecting, going back to Nazareth. And the scripture says, when he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, he was obedient to them. He was obedient to his mother and father at the age of 12. Ephesians 6, 1 through 2 states, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. So, as that's the early life, but what about the teenage years, right? The teenage years. Had to study up a little bit. It's been a while since I've had a teenager. Not too long. Rebecca's in the congregation today. But let me just say, they insights gleaned from Helping Your Struggling Teenager by Les Parrott reminded me of the stages that a teenager goes through from age 12 to age 20. And during those years, they're trying to figure out their own identity. They have identity with groups, whether they're the athlete group, or the popular crowd, the churchgoers, the partiers, or the brains, whatever their group might be, they're trying to figure out their own identities. They're practicing grown-up behaviors. Sometimes they're experimenting with taboo pleasures. Maybe they're even rebellion is happening. And throughout this, they're constantly checking in with their peers and other people they respect to figure out how they will be identified, who they are. But having said all that that's going on in teenage years, how can they honor their parents? By contributing to household chores, for those teenagers in the room, keeping the communication lines open with parents, participating in family events that are important to mom and dad, to grandparents, to show up. And so I know that many of you are with parents today and are grateful for that way to honor your mom. And seeing that the Butts are here today, I want to acknowledge both the Will and Ellie, who great-grandchildren of Barbara Love, read scripture and also gave the benediction at Barbara's memorial service a couple of weeks ago. And Barbara's 90th birthday, with Reagan and Katie's help, they designed a birthday card, 90 Things That We Love About Barbara. And so the contribution that was made, that was a part of her eulogy and the celebration of her life, that's one way that teenagers can get in to celebrate the attributes. So well done, good job. So thankful for the ways in which teenagers can honor great-grandparents and grandparents by showing up and being a part of those significant events. Also by going on vacations and playing with grandchildren or grandparents. How do we honor parents, though, that when we're adults? Well, friends, I remind you today that Matthew 19 and Mark 7 shares that when you get married, two shall become one flesh. They leave mother and father and become one flesh. So remember, moms and dads here, that when your children get married, their loyalty now goes to the spouse by God's design, and it is before the parents. But having said this, let me say, it does not nullify the command to honor our fathers and our mothers. Call them regularly, as Sarah shared. Include the time together in vacations. And we can celebrate, as Jean and I shared with her parents for many years with our small children, many family vacations, playing on beaches and celebrating cooler weather during the summer months. Just great memories created. That's one way that we honor mothers and fathers. Celebrating 50th wedding anniversaries and also celebrating significant birthdays like 80s and 90s birthdays are the kind of ways we can celebrate our families as well. So here's the question. Did Jesus honor his mother always doing what she asked? What do you think? Well, as we explore this together, John 20, 1 through 10, Jesus placates his mother's request to provide wine at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Do you remember the story? They're running out of wine at the wedding party, and Mary comes to Jesus and says, they're running out of wine. And what does Jesus say in response? Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. And we're waiting for the response of Mary, and Mary's response is what? Servants, whatever my son does, go do it. Right? Didn't exactly hear the rebuttal or the rebuff of Jesus in that moment. And I think I asked this question to myself, is rolling of eyes a sin and disrespectful? If rolling of eyes is a sin and disrespectful, Jesus did not roll his eyes. But in that moment, I would have rolled my eyes and I would have shook my head and I would have said, oh, mother, oh, mother. We don't know how Jesus responded, but we do know this. He honored his mother by doing his first miracle at a wedding, allowing his mother to save and help the moment because this couple was going to be embarrassed by running out of wine at a wedding ceremony, and Jesus steps in and performs the miracle of the great tasting wine. So what was Jesus doing? He was honoring his mother. But lest we think that Jesus always did what his mother asked of him, I take you to Mark 3, 21 through 31. Jesus is busy teaching and healing. He's packed in a house. There's no room for anybody to get even near the house. And his mother and his brothers and his sister show up. And they get word into him because they can't talk to him and say, your mother is outside and she wants to talk to you. And what does Jesus say in that moment? He says, who are my mother and my brothers and my sister? And that seems a little hard to me, but what he's saying to his mom is, Mom, I've started my ministry. This is my purpose. I have to say no, I'm not coming out right now. Because it says in the scripture there in Mark 3 that they arrived there to take possession of him, to take charge of him, because they were hearing that he was not even having time to eat. And I think his mom was there for his own good. But Jesus says the mission matters. What we see right there, friends, is Jesus as an adult says to grown, to his mother, no, Mom, respectfully, no. And so, friends, we can honor our parents and respect them even if we do not agree with them and have to tell them no. As parents enter into our latter years, their latter years, honoring them means to care for them. Certainly all of you in this room have been impacted by this in some way. You've seen maybe your children rally around you when you've had medical needs, or you've been rallying around your elderly parents when they've had needs. My father died in 2009 very suddenly by a heart attack. We didn't have time to prepare for that. I had a brother living in Australia at the time and a brother in Colorado. Mom was down in Houston by herself. I honored my mother by allowing her to move here to Tyler, Texas, where we had 12 or 13 years together. And friends, Gina was right there alongside me. She loved this church, but in the last 2 years of her life, it came down to taking over the finances. It came down to making sure there were groceries in a refrigerator. It came down to doing all of those things to keep her in her home as long as she could until we had to put her in assisted living and hospice care. So friends, we've all been down that journey, and recently, as you know, Gina and I were in Florida helping her mother move into assisted living because of her Alzheimer's and a broken hip that she has. But friends, we do what we need to do to care for our parents because God has created the system of the family for us to do that. That is why God created family. And it's God's will that we treat our parents with honor. It's the fifth commandment, and it's related to Ephesians 6, specifically also 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household, they've denied the faith, and worse, they are doing this worse than any unbeliever. But in closing, let me say this. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that sometimes parents mess up in the parenting and sometimes abandon children or abuse children. And some may be here today who have had situations where parents are not maybe deserving of the honor. But yet I want to remind you to pray for them, to have compassion for them, and to ask God to provide for their needs and to give you understanding that you might relate to them as best that you can, because it's important to the next generation that's coming up behind, that if you give the Christian response and love and honor and respect, even though it may not be earned, then you will show great love and you will show great faith and you will pass on the legacy and break the cycle of dysfunction. So that is why it's so important. The home life is so very important. Mothering is so very important. We need the next generation to know that God is a God who provides, that God is one who will always love us no matter how we might fail, and also that God will not only love and provide, but that God is always for us. And mothers, thank you so much. Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block from the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.